Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on making money with hard money, right after this message. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed this scriptural principle when they put into our Constitution, at Article 1, Section 10, this clause. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." But in 1933, President Roosevelt deviated from that principle, and he took gold away. And in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, the second, and the fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. And they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in my business school that I conduct twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. Now, to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number's 417-273-4967. And my business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and send me an email request for that general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, in this series of programs, we've been talking about silver and why we expect silver to outperform gold by 400% or more. We're in a bull market. Everybody's aware of that. The trend is your friend. We've learned that in this series of programs. We want to follow the trend. The dollar is trending down and has been since 1930. So if you've been investing in dollar-denominated investments, you have been losing money. I know you bought a house for $40,000, and today your house is worth $160,000 or $80,000, and you subtract $40,000 from $160,000, and you say, "Gee, I made $120,000 profit." That's wrong. You lost $90,000 in purchasing power. And the trick here is to convert you from weights and measures to values, and we've done that in America, and now Americans are dealing in values rather than weights and measures, and because of that, the purchasing power of the dollar has lost 95% over the last 70 years, or 80 years, 1930 to 2000, 75 years. We've lost 95%. Now, that's a crash in anybody's book. Now, when silver went from $50 down to $3.50, that's a crash. Now, if you hold the physical silver, like I hold a piece of property, And at one time, that piece of property was worth $250 an acre. Today, it's worth $10,000 an acre. And when the real estate bubble pops, it'll go back down to $250 an acre, which is just exactly where it ought to be. I haven't lost anything, but I failed to take advantage of an opportunity to make a great gain. Because if I bought the land at $250 and it's worth $10,000 and I could sell it at $10,000, then I could turn around and buy many more acres when the bubble collapses and it goes back to $250. Might not be able to buy the same land, but I'll go out and buy some land. Now, stocks, bonds, gold, silver, pork bellies, all commodities do the same thing. And the problem with pork bellies is that you can't take physical possession of them, or the cost of keeping those pork bellies is more than the pork bellies are going to be worth at some future date. So we need a commodity that holds its value, or when it moves up and down, it doesn't deteriorate. Strawberries are a poor form of holding commodities. But gold and silver, throughout thousands of years of recorded history, have been the right venue because they're recorded as money. You'll see silver mentioned in the Bible 257 times. Many, many times it's called a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, or pieces of silver. And the Spanish called them pieces of eight. And when I was a boy, we used to call a quarter 2 bits, and a 50-cent piece 4 bits. 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. We used to measure money in weights, not values. Now we measure money in value rather than weight. Now, as a result of that, we have lost, since we converted from gold to paper and silver to paper, we've lost 95% of our purchasing power, actually a little more than that. The dollar today, it now takes a dollar to buy what 3.5 cents would buy in 1930. In round numbers, we've lost about 95%. Now, we're sitting on the knife's edge of a collapse of the last 5%. And that should happen swift and severe. That's going to cause some severe dislocations. We're at the end of the cycle. We've been through this before. We went through it in 1783 and 1929, and we're going to go through it again. We went through it in 1840 and 1907, 1922, and we're going to experience it again. We have not learned from history. Now, let me tell you about the deep, dark secrets of the trade called physical silver. And remember, this comes from Franklin Sanders' arbitrage book. You can address your request to the money changer. It's $50 plus $5, or it's $49 plus $5. You need a total of $54 to get this manual. I recommend it to all of you, whether you're going to buy, sell, or trade or not. Just the education alone will be worth more than the $54. And he has a telephone number, 888-218-9226. Or you can address it to the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, 38486. Again, that's the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, 38486. I recommend a subscription to the Money Changer. It's a monthly newsletter. And Franklin Sanders computes the Dow in silver and the Dow Jones Industrial Average in gold, and has that charted out from back in the 1930s so that you can see that when you deal in weights and measures, you're not dealing in a fairy tale. You're dealing in reality. That's what I like about the Sanders newsletter. Now, he starts off here, I'm in chapter 16. He says, arbitrage trading has one great advantage. It allows you to lock in a profit without any risk. And below, I'm going to explain to you how you can increase the number of ounces of silver that you hold without taking any extra risks. And I'll also show you how a little known but highly reliable silver market indicator works. Let's take a look, first of all, at the premium on coin. Premium is the amount that any silver investment costs over and above its melt or its silver value. Now, we commonly call that the spot price. For instance, with silver at $5 an ounce, a 100-ounce silver bar costs $550. That has a 10% premium. It's easy with round number items like 100-ounce bars, harder with odd number items like 90% coin. Just remember to divide the cost by the content. You see why this manual is valuable? Because you'll have that right in front of you. See, you won't be able to remember, divide the cost by the content. But chapter 16 has all of these formulas in it. And again, I've been doing this for many years, and I always kept a low profile and kept my mouth shut because people used to laugh at me and make fun of me. I still do. I don't talk very much about this. Sanders has been more open about it. People say to me, well, you can't make money on gold and silver because it doesn't pay interest. No, but it pays very handsome profits. That's true. There's no interest on gold and silver, but trading it produces great profit. Well, I wouldn't say great, but, you know, handsome profits. And you don't collect in value that depreciates. You collect in weights and measures, which, depending upon how you want to value it, you always have more ounces than you started with. Now, while premiums on most gold coins are relatively stable, or at least don't fluctuate enough to trade profitably, the premium on U.S. 90% silver coin can be very, very volatile. And this offers us an opportunity. So just take a look at chart 22. 90% cost per ounce versus spot silver, 1998 to 2004 on page 72A. Now, the left scale shows you the price of spot silver, and the right scale shows you the percentage premium silver bags were carrying. Okay, now, remember, the trend is your friend. So, we want to get out of dollars and bonds and stocks and dollar-denominated investments and get into gold and silver, because the dollars and dollar-denominated investments are in a bear market headed down, have been since 2000. And they're simply moving sideways right now. But the overall trend is down. Now, the overall trend for gold and silver is up, and that's what we want to be into. But remember, we want physical possession. So we watch the trend by watching the premium. Remember that early in 1998, the delivery squeeze of Warren Buffett's big silver purchases sent silver skyrocketing to $7. Then the price of silver collapsed, and it remained in a long range, or in a range from $5.50 to $4 until about 2004. Now, just because you have missed out on the $5.50 and the $4 silver, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I've got $15 silver that I got that I bought back in 1981, 82, 83, as the price was going down. In other words, when you buy, the price should be going down. Now, at this moment in time, you want to buy at the bottom. And if I'd have known that silver was going to go from $15 down to $5, I would have waited. But once it gets down to $15, who knows from that point on how low it'll go. And the same thing is true. You never know where the bottoms are, and you never know where the tops are. So the rule of thumb is, we make our trades when we can make a 25% profit. So you watch your market indicators, and when your profit margin is at 25%, take it. You're better off to take a profit of 25% four times than to wait to collect 100% in one fell swoop, because you'll almost always miss the tops and bottoms. So be content with 25% when the markets make their moves. Now, somebody said to me, well, you know, silver is going to peak out too, you know. Well, of course it will. And the trick here is that you want to sell the silver when it's high. You want to convert it into something else. And I mentioned to you earlier that platinum was priced at $265. My broker called me one day and he said he was going to sell all of his gold and put it into platinum. And that was a signal for me to do the same. I didn't. He did. And the platinum moved from $265 to $800 or something close to that, $600-$800, something like that. He called me one day and he says, well, I'm selling the platinum and converting it back to gold. And in other words, Frank is a trader, and he's an arbitrage trader. And what Franklin Sanders has done here is he has written a manual for lay people, his customers primarily, his subscribers to the Money Changer. And as one of those subscribers, he sent it to me, and now that I saw it, I said, well, I think I'll put this on the air and share it with my listeners. Now look at 90% silver coin and what it did during the same period. Under the impulse of Y2K buying, investors poured into the silver market and they bought silver coin. So from the beginning of 99 until the end of the spring, buyers forced up the 90% silver price, pushed the premium up 100 to 143%. Now that's a high figure. But consistent with what we have seen in the past, that 40% level seems to be about the top of the range for this premium. Now, it didn't mean that that was 143% higher than the price of the silver. That was the premium went up 143%. In other words, the premium might have been $5 and it went up to, you know, $12.50. Now, on the low side, silver coin can't go much below 4 or 5% discount. Otherwise, people start buying the silver just to melt it down for the silver content so that they can capture that discount. That bids the price back up closer to melt, which is 100%. So the spot price is what we call 100%. So how do we profit? How can we take advantage of this premium swing? So when the 90% coin premium is high, trade 90% coin for troy ounce silver ounce. Now you look at the chart, 23, premium over spot silver, 90% in rounds. And on page 73A, the rounds are 1 troy ounce. Now silver is measured 0.999 fine. What that means is that if you had 1,000 ounces of silver and you melt them all down, 999 of them would be 100% silver and one of them would be 100% dross. D-R-O-S-S. That is just garbage, trash. Gold is refined down to 0.99999. Four nines fine, which means that only one in 10,000 is dross. So it's 10 times finer. Now, every time you increase the fineness, it takes more heat and more refining to get that silver down to four nines fine, starts to cost a little bit more money. And silver already is priced pretty low, isn't it? It's only $7-$8 an ounce. As I said, don't be concerned about the price of silver at $8. The correct price of silver today, measured in the silver-gold ratio, is $43.75 an ounce. That's where it should be. Gold should be at $700 an ounce, but it's not. All right, so now here's where we're going to take an arbitrage. Here's where we're going to convert back and forth and make a profit. Now, there are charts throughout the manual. So as examples, you look again at chart 22, 90% cost. Do you see how 90% coin discounted as much as 5.6% early in 1998 when silver was peaking? Now ignore the Y2K caused peak in 1999 and move over to November of 2001 when silver bottomed and the premium refused to follow, peaking at 12.2% while silver tanked. So generally we can say that a divergence between premium and silver points to a market bottom or a market top. So if the premium is weakening, it hints that silver is about to drop. If premium is growing, it hints that silver is about to rise. None of these hints are 100% reliable, but you know, it's what we call supply and demand in the marketplace. Now keep in mind that both these markets, gold and silver, are controlled and contrived. Not totally, but they're very, very influenced. And they're influenced by the traders that get in and out with paper gold and paper silver. Just like our monetary system, it has been perverted. Now, that's why we always take physical possession, because the bankers are short on silver and short on gold, and they're long on paper promises. What we want to do is to take physical delivery and then convert that back and forth to make our profit. So it helps to remember that although 90% silver coin is made of silver, it's not exactly the same as silver. It's a form of silver subject to supply and demand all by itself. Formerly, it was the market's favorite vehicle. It was the It was the silver of choice, the form of silver investment, although the arrival of the silver American Eagles cut into the demand. Now, why that's true is anybody's guess, since the silver American Eagles carry a huge premium from the mint, far more than they're worth. So, right now, you can buy silver for $8 an ounce, but there will be a $2 premium on those silver dollars issued by the mint. Again, it doesn't make any sense, but then that's where reality is. The $20 double eagle has 9/10 of an ounce of gold and sells for $17 more than a $50 eagle that has 10/10 of an ounce of gold. Doesn't make any sense, but that's where it's at. So your best gold buy or value is in Krugerrands, which are trading right at or very close to spot. Now here's an example of the premium diverging from silver. From 9/24/02 at 465 spot, silver dropped to a low of 427 on 10/10/02, a drop of 38 cents. In the same time, 90% bags dropped from $3,465 to $3,330. That's a loss of $135. Or 135 over 715 equals only 18.9 cents per ounce. Do you follow that? While silver dropped 38 cents, bag silver only dropped 18.9 cents, about half that. So what is the 90% coin premium telling us today in June of 2004? First, the strength of the premium against silver says at the very least there's a strong physical investment demand for silver at these prices, and the price on the futures exchange has dropped more than the physical price. Second, it hints to us that silver may be bottoming or at least gearing up to a rally. And third, it also shows how investing in physical silver differs from futures or options or paper. The price targets simply are not as critical, since 90% coin, which is our favorite silver investment vehicle, is not as volatile to the downside as futures or options are. And finally, it warns us to keep our eyes open to opportunities to trade U.S. 90% silver coin for some other form of silver. Whenever that 90% premium climbs higher than 20%, our swapping finger ought to start itching. And why is that? Because premium always disappears. At some point, that premium is going to disappear. But in the meantime, we can turn it into silver ounces by swapping our 90% for 100-ounce bars or for 1-ounce rounds. All right, so the timing then is what's critical in this thing of moving back and forth into and out of silver or into and out of gold. Now, one of my favorite techniques is the ratio. There's more profit to make on the ratio moves than there is on the premium moves. When the ratio, and the only guy that really keeps abreast of silver and gold as it relates to the Dow Industrial Averages, that is, value versus weights and measures, is the Money Changer. He's the only guy. All of the other newsletters, all of the other monetary newsletters presume that if you have subscribed to a monetary newsletter, you must already know all the buzzwords and all of the secrets of the trade. Well, the truth of the matter is, most of us are laypeople and we don't know all of those buzzwords. And the only guy that really spells it out in spades is Franklin Sanders and the Money Changer. So that's why I keep telling you that this manual here is like, I think it's worth its weight in silver, probably worth its weight in gold. Now let's take a quick look here at taxes. What is taxable in gold and silver swaps? Now, quotations below come from Dan Pilla's article in the April 2002 Money Changer, Mining Gold and the Tax Laws. The tax treatment of precious metal sales, as always, do not rely upon my opinion alone, but check with your own tax accountant, your CPA or your tax preparer. If you're in need of a tax professional, then go to the Yellow Pages and take a look and see if you can find a CPA. Let me tell you a little quick story here. I used to be in the construction business, contracting business, and at the same time I was buying and selling real estate. So I would buy a apartment house, and then I'd renovate it and fix it up, and then I'd go down to the bank and borrow money against it. And then I would take that out as tax-free, and that's a tax advantage that government puts into to the equation. You can drill an oil well, and you can write off as a deduction the cost of drilling, things like that, cost of goods sold. Well, my accountant, a guy by the name of Don Bell, he'd come to me on October the 1st. Now, that's 90 days before the end of the year, and then he'd take a look and he'd analyze my books, and he'd say, you know, you've got too much cash, and we need to get rid of this cash, or you're going to have tax consequences, or you're long on property and you're short on cash. So having a good CPA, I mean, if you're a taxpayer, having a good CPA, which only costs you, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a year, is like having money in the bank. This is the guy that keeps abreast of the latest moves by Congress and where all of these tax breaks are located so that you can take advantage of them. I never was smart enough to keep track of it, and I don't have the time, effort, or energy to do it. So I hire it done. And a good CPA is a gold mine of information and a gold mine to help save you. You know, you got to make a choice. You can either invest it in real estate, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, or oil, or you can pay it out in taxes. You know, the choice is yours. So if you're paying out over $5,000 a year, then a CPA is in the cards for you. If you're paying out $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, then a CPA is a must. And a good CPA is the guy that can add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and get your taxes from $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year down to $5,000 or $10,000. And you want to be paying a little bit of tax every year. That keeps the tax man happy. He sees that you're paying a little bit, and it keeps him, you know, out of sight and out of mind. All right. Now, what is capital gain or loss? A capital gain or loss is the profit or loss derived from the sale of a capital asset. So a gain occurs when you sell for more than your acquisition cost. A loss occurs when you sell for less than your acquisition cost. So whether or not an asset is capital depends upon its nature and use. So generally speaking, any asset is considered a capital asset, except inventory and supplies used in a business, accounts and notes receivable acquired in the ordinary course of business, real property used in one's trade or business, intellectual property such as copyrights and musical or artistic compositions, commodities, derivatives held by commodities dealers, and hedging transactions. Okay, so those are not capital assets. Now, is it long-term or short-term? What determines a capital asset long-term? Well, to determine the correct tax treatment of capital gains, you first determine whether they are considered short-term or long-term gains. And this is determined solely by reference to the holding period. So the period of time that the asset was owned. Short-term capital gains arise from assets held for 1 year or less. Long-term gains are those held longer than 1 year. So the holding period begins the day after the property is purchased, and it includes the day that the asset is sold. For example, if you purchase your gold coins on January 3rd, 2001, any gain is considered long-term gain if the coins were sold on or after January 5th, 2002. Now, what I try to do is to avoid paper money altogether. And that keeps the dollar volume very low. A $50 gold piece has the same value as a $50 Federal Reserve note. Always remember that. Hang on, we'll take a break and we'll be right back right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. And this surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has actually produced greater efficiency and security. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. You heard it right, 15 files on every American on average. Now, that's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems containing 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and each system contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, information about you is gained from about 63 sources, and all of this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for, and how do you keep it secret? Well, knowing how this information is gathered and what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, for more information about privacy and privacy issues, just call the law school at 417-273-4967 and ask for my free general law CD package, and let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, best of all, it's free. The number again, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email, send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. I'll give you the money changer address and phone number here at the end of this segment. This is the seventh segment here on a manual, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold 400%, written by Franklin Sanders. Sanders is a gold dealer. He's got a motive for writing the book. He sells books and he sells gold and silver, but you don't have to buy any gold and silver from Franklin Sanders. You can buy it from anybody. You can buy and sell. Once you get the secrets, once you get the information, you can buy and sell from anybody. But Sanders has put in here the secrets of the arbitrage traders. Now, I've been doing this for years. I didn't know I was an arbitrage trader. I didn't know the word until I read his manual. Now I know what I am. But those of us that have been bimetallists have been following the scriptures, because it was God that gave us gold and silver. And gold is measured by the amount of silver that it takes to change for a certain quantity of gold, and vice versa. Now, that's the way money worked in the world for about 5,000 years. And then along came the bankers. And the bankers, back in 1690 or 92, said, hey, listen, we got a better plan. We can print paper to represent gold and silver. Now, that's where taxes come in, because profits are measured in commercial paper, not in property. Now, gold and silver are property. You have a right to property. That's not taxed. So what we're going to tax is the value that you're going to voluntarily convert your weights and measures into. Now, that's why unjust weights and balances are prohibited in the scripture. But you know, God made a mistake, and fortunately for God, he's got you and me. We came along, and now we're going to fix his mistake. Well, I woke up one day some years back and I said, you know, maybe God knew a little bit more about this than we gave him credit for. So I went back to gold and silver coin, which is what our founding fathers gave us in our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, and lo and behold, the tax consequences all of a sudden disappear. That's right, the tax consequences just disappear. The tax is on commercial paper. Now, why is the holding period important? We're talking about capital gains here. That's because the long-term capital gains are taxed at a lower rate than short-term gains. The specific tax rate can be as low as 10% with certain property held more than 5 years. A new rule effective for 2001 can reduce the capital gains rate to just 8%. Now, how can you correctly compute the capital gains rate that applies to your specific transaction? Well, it's best to sit down with a tax planner who understands capital gains and can walk you through the process. And I also recommend that you read IRS Publication 544, Sales and Other Dispositions of Assets. This publication explains the tax rules that apply when you dispose of property, and it discusses how to figure gain or loss, whether your gain or loss is ordinary or capital, how to treat your gain or loss when you dispose of business property, and how to report a gain or loss on your 2001 tax return. Now, what is a like-kind exchange? Now, a like-kind exchange occurs when you exchange one type of asset for another, similar assets, without any tax consequences. For example, suppose you owned a gas station and you swapped it for a different gas station. Assuming the value is about the same, that would be like a like-kind exchange and there would be no tax consequence. Well, until about 1984, the IRS accepted swaps of gold for silver or vice versa as a like-kind exchange. Well, they saw us making too much money, so since then they have changed their mind. Therefore, gold for silver or silver for gold swaps no longer qualify as like-kind exchanges. But silver for silver exchanges do qualify. Now, that means that every time you sell one or the other, you must account for and report the tax consequences in the year of the swap if you're a person who's liable to pay income tax. And don't rely upon a broker or dealer to remind you with a copy of some reporting form, because that isn't going to happen. You have to keep track of it yourself. So an example would be if you bought gold for $400 an ounce, then a year and a half later you sold the gold or you swapped the gold for silver when the gold was $300. Then your $100 loss on the gold is a capital loss, so you can deduct it. Another example, let's suppose you bought gold for $275 an ounce, then a year and a half later, when gold is $350, you swap it for silver. Your $75 gain on the gold is a capital gain, so you have to pay taxes on it. That's why I teach tax school, so let me give you a little quick reminder here. Remember I said, if you deal in gold and silver, there's no tax consequence, it just disappears. So when you go to school here, I charge $225 in gold coin. So you're going to give me four $50 gold pieces and one $25 gold piece. That's $225. And I'm allowed $7,000 a year, $7,200 a year. And I can live on $7,200 a year in gold coin. But here's where the value trick comes in. You go down to the coin store, and the guy in the coin store says he's got a $50 gold piece, but he wants you to pay him $3,000 for it. Or he's got a $20 gold piece, and he wants $10,000 for it. And the minute you put that valuation on there, you suck yourself right into the tax trap. If you went down there and you traded that guy 20 $20 gold pieces for one $20 gold piece, you'd have a like-for-like swap. In any event, you'd have 20 times 20 or a $400 swap for $200 rather than a $10,000 transaction that's going to have a $7,500 capital gain and a $2,500 commission to the broker. Can you follow that? Again, the gold brokers are masters of deception. And then remember, when God told you not to use unjust weights and balances, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. So the penalty that we pay are these taxes. And that's assuming, of course, that you're a taxpayer. Now, because swapping gold for silver or vice versa is not classified as a like-kind transaction, every time you sell, you must account for a gain or loss on whichever metal you sell. If you're a person liable to pay income taxes, silver to silver swaps are a like-kind exchange, so they're not taxable. So does it make sense to swap? Well, you bet it does. First, if you have a loss in your gold, for example, right now you can swap for silver and realize a capital loss, which is deductible. Capital losses may be used to offset capital gains and therefore may reduce or eliminate your overall tax debt. So keep in mind that capital losses offsetting ordinary income, such as wage income, are limited to just $3,000 per year. Second, if you have a capital gain in gold, for example, right now it'll be lower than if you sell later, assuming that my analysis of the market's uptrend is correct. And then third, the goal of a swapping strategy is to increase ounces through the fluctuations in the gold-silver ratio. There are costs associated with that, taxes being one of them. So if you're a person who owes income tax, along with shipping and commissions, the gain foreseen on the transaction obviously must justify your costs. So the swapping strategies we use target a gain of 25% or more per round trip out of one metal into another, out again and into the first metal. So a round trip is gold for silver. And then when you go silver for gold, that's a second round trip. When you buy silver, that's half a trip. When you buy gold, that's half a trip. Now, for openers, most of you people are not arbitrage traders. You are cash traders. That is, you're going to be trading Federal Reserve notes for gold or silver. And what that does on your taxes, it establishes you going in. So, you have that as a cost of doing business. So, don't forget to put that in. Just like inflation at 5% a year is a cost of doing business. So you have to factor that in. The broker's commission is a cost of doing business, as is the freight. That is, the cost of moving 60-pound bag of silver from point A to point B is a cost of doing business. Don't forget to factor in those four costs. Now, should we swap now? Well, because the gold-silver ratio is relatively high, around 65 to 1, after falling as low as 51 to 1, yes, I do recommend swapping gold for silver now. Our target is to swap back into gold at 43 to 1 or a better ratio, or 31, or an... Let me reread that. Swap back at 43 to 1 or better ratio, a 31.75 gain in ounces, less the transaction costs. All right, now, did you catch that? We're not making a profit, we're making a gain in ounces of silver. And I want to emphasize that. I don't want to be repetitious to the point of being stupid, but I receive telephone calls here nearly every day, and they seem to be repetitious to me, so evidently we didn't communicate well. There's a world of difference between trading Federal Reserve notes for gold or silver coin and trading gold coin for silver coin or silver coin for gold coin. I mean, there's just a world of difference. One is value for property, and the other is property for property. When you're trading coin for coin, that's property to property. And we want to be moving from property to property to property, because there's no tax on property. It's when you convert to value, that's where the tax comes in. Nobody's taxing your ounces, they're taxing your dollars. Now, the tricky part is that the coins are denominated in dollars and the paper is denominated in dollars. And that's where all of this phony baloney comes into play to start with. You see, once they convinced us that we could accept paper and call those dollars, they had us. And until you can break that habit and get out of using paper, for instance, I don't use paper. I don't compute my business in paper. I'm on a gold standard. And I recommend that, and I teach that in my business school and in my tax school. So why don't you write for that free writer call? It's easier to call for that free general law CD package, and let me tell you how to profit and how to make money with hard money and make it in ounces, not dollars. Not more ounces of, or more dollars of worthless paper. Now, you swap 1 ounce of gold for 63 ounces of silver now. Now, calculate and apply your tax treatment of selling the gold. Then wait until the ratio drops to 43 to 1. Then you swap the 63 ounces of silver for 1.511 ounces of gold. Now calculate and apply the tax treatment of selling the silver. Now subtract the transaction costs. Now for quotations on gold-silver swaps, give us a call at 888-218-9226. Now I'm going to give you his name and number again. That's Franklin Sanders. Telephone number is 888-218-9226. Now, this is a guy that deals in these arbitrage trades. You can make your own with some other broker. I'm not telling you to go to Franklin Sanders. He's as good as any and better than most. You should have three brokers that you can call on to get their commissions. It doesn't cost any more to ship a bag of silver from Tennessee or California. It comes by U.S. mail. It comes insured mail. You got to pay the freight on silver. The broker pays the freight on gold. And remember, your commissions should range from 2 to 4%, and if they're over 4%, then you're paying too much. 4%, you know, if you're paying 5 or 6%, well, then it's coming off your bottom line. And then, of course, the higher the numbers that you deal with, the lower the commission's going to be. $100,000 transaction has a 2% commission, and a $2,500 transaction has a 4% commission rate. So, you know, it depends on where you're at in the business cycle. If you're trading at bigger numbers, then you're going to get a better price. All right, now you can also write to the Money Changer and order this book. It's the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. Again, that's the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, 38486. You got to tell him that you heard about it on the Law Hour, or he's going to charge you $199 unless you're a subscriber to the Money Changer. This manual went out to his mailing list, to his subscribers. And in addition to that, I recommend the Money Changer because it is the best newsletter, monetary newsletter, dealing with bimetals, that is bimetallism, that's gold and silver, and he measures both every month in the Dow Industrial Average. He's the only guy around that does that, to my knowledge. The only guy. Now take a look at stocks versus silver, the Dow and silver ounces. Let me give you a few minutes of Chapter 18 and give you a little introduction. For several years, I've been harping about the Dow in gold dollars. Why? Well, because valuing stocks in terms of gold gives us a superbly reliable indicator of the trends in both stocks and gold. So when we spot extreme highs or lows in the Dow Industrial Gold, it tells us that we can safely switch from one to the other and ride a primary trend for a long time. So in other words, when we ought to buy gold and when we ought to buy stocks for decades at a time. So let's take a look at the Dow in gold dollars. The Dow in gold is simply the amount of gold expressed in statutory dollars of gold needed to buy the entire Dow Jones Industrial Average. We can also express the same relationship in ounces of gold. For the past 100 plus years, the Dow has ranged from 1 ounce at bottoms to 44.79 ounces at the extreme top in 1999. Calculating the Dow in gold gives us one unchanging measure of the Dow stretching back over a century. So looking at the numbers, the bottom, August 7th, 1896, gold was $20.86 an ounce. That was 1.01 troy ounce. The top was hit on August the 30th, 1929. Gold was $380.33. And that was 18.40 troy ounces. The bottom again hit July 8, 1932. Gold was 41.63, 2.01 troy ounces. Top February 9, 1966. Bottom January 21, 1980. Top August 25, 1999. So the latest reading is $534.11. That's 25.83 ounces on 6104. As Steve Savelle noted in an excellent article in June 2002, it takes the Dow gold ratio a very long time to recover from major peaks. The Dow in gold did not exceed its 1929 peak until 1959. So, if you were holding stocks in 1929, you didn't break even in purchasing power until 1959. 30 years later is when you broke even. Now, people were making a lot of money. They were making a lot of dollars. But the dollars didn't have purchasing power. Now, if your purchasing power is if you're losing purchasing power, then you're not making money. Now, if you're like a guy that bought a house back in 1980, you know, for let's say $40,000 or $50,000, and then you turn around and you say, "Well, my house is now worth $200,000," well, I just made $150,000 profit. You got your head up the wrong end. You got a $90,000 loss there, partner. $90,000 loss. And that's the bare minimum loss, by the way, on that transaction. A $50,000 house that you keep for 30 years and sell for $250,000 after making 360 payments on it at 6% interest has a minimum net loss of $90,000. $90,000 in purchasing power. Yeah, you've got some extra bucks in your pocket. You got a lot of those 5 cent dollars in your pockets, what you got. But you didn't get enough of those 5 cent dollars to offset the original $40,000 or $50,000 that you paid for that house 30 years ago. Now that's where reality's at, and that has to be factored in. That's why the money changer methodology, the arbitrage methodology, is dynamite. It's dynamite because it's scripturally correct. It values gold and silver and silver and gold. And it's just weights and balances. It's arbitrage trading based upon somebody else's misguided value. You deal in ounces, just weights and balances, and let the other guy take his losses in Federal Reserve note dollars. And I'm sorry if I take advantage of you people out there, but then it's not my fault that you were educated in public school. Now, the trend is your friend. So once the primary trend is turned, it takes quite a while to change directions. Always remember that. It takes quite a while to change directions once a primary trend has been established. Now, the primary trend in stocks was established in March of 2002. Remember, from its peak of 11,700, it went down to 97. Now, it's what we call trading sideways. The market is in an overall bear market, which has been derailed by the massive infusion of all of this deficit spending and tax cuts by the government. Now that's about to come to an end, and when it does, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, its real value is 3,000. The real value of gold should be 700, but the manipulators have been manipulating the market. So let's take advantage of the markets. Now's the time to buy gold and silver. Practice arbitrage in gold and silver. Wait for the Dow to drop to 3,000, and then you sell your gold or your silver, which will then be at its peak. You can just about bet that it'll just about be at its peak. Then you go back into the stock market. That's what Russell Harvey did. Remember, I told you that story. Old man Harvey sold out in 27, bought back in 35. Now, that sounds like a long time to wait, 8 years. Well, I've been waiting since 1980 to make the big move. I've been buying silver and hanging on to it. And except for my gold-silver trades, which increases my ounces. But hey, listen, the big score comes when the price of silver, you know those silver ounces that I bought for $4 and $5? You students, you know, that traded me those silver. Remember, you came in here and I said silver's trading at $4.50, but I'm a big-hearted guy and I'm going to give you $5. $5 in credit. Well, now my $5 is worth $8. You know, just looking at values. When it gets up to $43, then I'll have made some profit, won't I? And while gold and silver is going up, the stock market will be going down. Now remember, the trend is your friend. So you stay out of the bear markets and you stay in the bull markets. Whether you're buying pork bellies or bacon rinds, or you're buying pomegranates or gold or silver or stocks or bonds, whatever it is. All right, now listen to this. Market technicians talk about the 50% principle. It's like a seesaw. When a market begins to descend but holds above the 50% correction level, then it's a strong market. However, when it falls through the 50% correction, it's a weak market, and most likely it's going to get weaker. So from a low of 18 ounces on January 1st, 1980, the Dow Jones Industrial Average in silver rose to a high of 2,566 ounces on June 7th, 2004. That's a rise of 2,548 ounces. Half of that rise equals 1,274. So 2,566 equals 1,292 ounces. That's called the 50% mark. Now, it takes you a little while to learn how to do that Dow in gold and Dow in silver, but once you learn how to do that, your thinking will start changing. You'll start thinking in terms like God and Moses were thinking when they wrote, "Thou shalt not steal, and you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag." And when you take a look at Federal Reserve notes and you listen to the president, and you listen to economists and Dan Rather blather about the economy, you'll understand in spades that yes, these people are getting paid more and more Federal Reserve notes that buy less and less goods and services. And the fools call that profit. When you start measuring in gold and silver, you will measure gold by ounces of silver and silver by ounces of gold, and you'll be measuring things in property, weights and measures, not value. Then you'll be dealing in property and real profit, not an illusion. All right, let me give it to you once more. This is Franklin Sanders, the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee 38486. Remember, it's $54, $49 for the book. $5 shipping and handling. The telephone number is 888-218-9226. Again, that's 888-218-9226. I recommend a subscription to the Money Changer and the book, the manual. You're asking why silver will outperform gold 400%. All right, that's the story on arbitrage trading. Quite a little story indeed. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. I'm just about out of time, so we'll take up a new topic tomorrow night. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program, a program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, there's the signal. Says my time's about up. We got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Right here. Don't change your dial or change it back. See you then.